One of the hardest things to do is lead singing. I'd rather preach. I've led singing in the past, and there's not one of us that hadn't happened to, especially with this song book. Because you think you know the song, you get to singing it, and say, whoa, wait a minute, where'd that go? So it is not easy to lead the singing. The lesson today is going to be taken from Acts, the 9th chapter. You really don't need to turn there. We're not going to read a whole lot of the chapter. The lesson's about Saul, or Paul, as we know him. I like Paul better than Saul. When I think of Saul, I think of the king in the Old Testament. Actually, Saul would be Hebrew, and Paul would be the Greeks. But up until the road to Damascus, we called him Saul. After that, we called him Paul. Paul was he was a Jew and he was a Pharisee. Romans 11:1, it says, I ask then, did God reject this people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant from Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. So we know that Paul was a Jew and he was a Pharisee. In Philippians 3:4-6, it says, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Paul says in these scriptures that he is a Pharisee. And a Pharisee was one that studied the Old Testament and knew the Old Testament forward and backward. They believed in the traditions, and they believed in a resurrection. The Sadducees, on the other hand, did not believe in a resurrection. On West End, there's three synagogues. I don't know if you've ever been to any of them. I've been to two of them. The Orthodox Jews' synagogue is right across the street from West End Church of Christ. And if you go about a mile or so down the road, there is another synagogue. I've attended that synagogue twice. I took young people. We studied the major religions, and one of the major religions is the Jewish religion. And so we would study about a religion, and then we would go visit. So on two different occasions, I took young people to a Jewish synagogue on a Friday night. Their services start at dusk on Friday night, and then their Sabbath ends on dusk on Saturday night. So they count a little bit differently than we do, and it's very interesting when you go in and visit one of them, one of their services. Now, men, if you go in there, the first thing they're going to give you is a beanie, because you don't go into the worship service without your head covered. So they furnish you a head covering. I thought it was interesting. A lot of the men had homemade coverings that their wives had knitted and all. They were very, very pretty and all. And so we went in, and they have something like this, only it's not a baptistry. It's a ark, and that's where they keep the scrolls, okay? And the scrolls are very ornate, and then in every service they bring out the scrolls, and they open the scrolls up, and they read in Hebrew. Of course, Hebrew reads left to right instead of right to left. Somebody told me that one time that was because when you chisel on the stone, if it was this way, you were safe. But if it was this way, you kept hitting yourself in the head. So anyway, that's what I was told. I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway, Paul was a Pharisee, so he was really into the law. And one place in the Bible, he said he was taught by Gamaliel, and you'll find I'll read about Gamaliel in about the 8th or 9th chapter of Acts. So I would say that Paul had his doctorate in the Old Testament. He was very smart when it came to the Old Testament. He was a persecutor of the church. In Acts 9, 1 through 2, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. I find that right interesting. You say, why would he go to the high priest for letters to go to Damascus and arrest people? Well, although the Roman government was in charge of everything, they let the Jewish nation kind of have their own government, okay? And the high priest would be the highest person in that government. And then they had the Sanhedrin, which was kind of like a Senate. So they were not only the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people, they were the law to the Jewish people. And so what he did was he went to Caiaphas and asked for permission to go and arrest the Christians, which at that time were called the Way. Another thing I find interesting is that when Christianity first started, it was really just considered part of the Jewish religion. Now, they looked at things a lot differently, but at first, and for some time, they were considered a part of the Jewish religion. In Acts, you'll find that over and over, it says that they went to the temple daily. Okay, so they didn't give up all their traditions and everything they had learned when they became Christians. And it's also interesting that they weren't called Christians at first. They were just called the Way. It's in Acts 11:26 where we find that they were first called Christians, and that was in Antioch. Paul was a murderer. He approved of Stephen's death. In Acts 7:57-60, at this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at his feet. I don't know, how many of y'all been watching AD? Has anybody been watching that? It's a series that's been on television. If you haven't watched it, you've missed something because it's taken from Acts. Now, a lot of things in AD didn't actually happen, or we don't find it in the scriptures, but it kind of gives you an idea of what was going on at that time. And the character in Acts, in AD, the series, boy, is he zealous. I mean, he really thinks that the Christians or the Way has perverted the Jewish religion, that they've blasphemed, and he's just really fiery as he plays this role, and he's dragging people into prison, you know, and we talked about here, he's holding the coats of people when they stoned Stephen. So he's very zealous for Judaism. You know, again, he studied the law. He knows the law backwards and forwards. And as far as he's concerned, these are Jews that have perverted the law. And that's why he was so zealous to go after them. I find it interesting that Christians are being persecuted today. This I'm going to read you a letter, actually email, that came from Vinay, and I cleaned it up a little bit because it'll read a little bit smoother. I was very happy that the people in the coastal village recognized me. I had met them many years ago. They started to tell me their story of persecution, being beaten by the villagers with blood wounds. Several village leaders formed as a team and started persecuting people who were going to church in those villages. They had beaten all of the believers and had made an agreement that the Christians would not go to church for 1 year. We all felt very sorry to hear this and prayed on the spot for their problem. Keep praying for me, as I would like to meet some officers and political leaders regarding this matter. Also, I need your kind suggestions for this. So this is a letter from Vinay, who we support in India. Okay, and so there's persecution going on in India right now. I understand that they have a new government, and the man that is in charge of the new government is strictly against preaching the gospel over there, so I'm not really sure what's going to happen. But, you know, Christians are being persecuted all over the world at this time. Some of the beheadings that we read about, ISIS doing, they go into the villages, and if you don't agree to be of their religion, they just kill you. These are our brothers and sisters that this is happening to. And if you read the newspapers right now, you can see that it's not that bad in the United States right now, but there are things that are being pushed that are against what we believe. If you read the newspaper yesterday, I believe you find that to be true. One of the questions I asked myself was, what happens next? What if I refuse to marry a homosexual couple? Am I going to be taken to court over that? That's quite possible, because I think that that's their agenda. That's the next thing in line. I noticed in the paper yesterday that some of our leaders here in the Tennessee Senate are working on passing a law so that the ministers can't be persecuted or taken to law if they don't marry a homosexual. So I see that persecution is coming to America. Now, where it'll go and where it will end, I really don't know. Paul was chosen by God. Galatians 1:15 through 19, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, or Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I find several things interesting in this scripture. Number one, he said he was set apart from his mother's womb. So in other words, Paul thought that even before he was born, God had a purpose for him. And that purpose was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. The other thing I found interesting, he says, to see those who were apostles before I was. And some of the other books, when he gives his credentials, he says that he is an apostle, that he is an apostle out of season. Okay, we know there were 12 apostles. Judas committed suicide. Matthias took his place. And then there was Paul, who God specifically called on the road to Damascus to take the gospel to the Gentiles. I believe it was Sunday night. No, it was Wednesday. It was a Wednesday night. We were talking in class about the fact that he was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But most times, if you read the books, the first place he went was the synagogues, because he cared about his own people. We're studying Romans on Wednesday night, and I find that interesting. He really cared for his people. He was a Jew. He cared for them. He didn't want them to be lost. But most times what happened is he went to the synagogue. He converted a few, but then some in the synagogue would rise up against him, and he would leave, and then he would go to the Gentiles. The other thing I find interesting is, he says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. When Paul was baptized, he didn't immediately go to Jerusalem. He went to Arabia for 3 years. Now, what happened in Arabia, I have absolutely no idea because the scriptures don't tell us, but he was away for 3 years. Maybe he was taught the gospel by someone or maybe by God. I don't really know, but in essence, he did not see the apostles for 3 years. You know, all Christians are chosen people. Have you ever looked at yourself as somebody chosen by God? You know, Paul says, I was chosen by God even before I was born. And I think everybody has been chosen by God. I think that everybody has been given talents. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you, in parentheses I put in, we are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What a scripture. We are a chosen people. We are royalty. I've told my classes, I have a purple Bible. It says James Arnold, Child of the King. And I tell people that I'm able to have a purple Bible because I am royalty. Well, he says here, we are royalty. You probably never thought of yourself as being in a royal family, but you are. We are a priesthood. We are all priests. Old Testament, you had to be a Levite in order to be a priest. We don't have to do that. Scripture says that we are priests. A holy nation. He's talking about Christianity there. And God's special possession. I think that, I like that. I am God's special possession. I don't know, I look at myself. I'm not worth much, but God thinks so. And he thinks that of you. You are a special possession. Why? That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So, you're special. You're of a royal family. God has called you. He has a job for you. I don't know what your job is. I have told my classes over and over, I can look back and see in my life how God has led me. I had a godly mother. She's still alive. She's 95 years old. That took me to church from the time I was a baby until I grew up, got married, and left. Of course, I continued in church. She sent me to a Bible school, okay? And she instilled in me morals, okay? I was talking to Mom the other day, and she said, well, I didn't do anything. I said, oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. What I am today is because of you. And that's true. What I am today is because of my mother. But I can see in my life where God has placed me in certain places. I went to church camp for years. I was the director. And because I was a whole lot younger, and I could handle the heat and all that, and thoroughly enjoyed it. Taught crafts. Okay? There's a lot of things I can do crafty-wise. My daughter's a lot better than I am. But I can see why I'm here. Okay? I would have never thought about coming to Echo Hills. That's just not something I thought about. I went to Jackson Park Church of Christ for 30 years. My wife still goes there. She's never gone anyplace else. You couldn't get her out of there with dynamite, but that's okay. It works for us. But I can see that he had a plan in my life. Not a big plan. It doesn't have to be a big plan. He has a plan for you. What you've got to do is figure out what the plan is. Now, it didn't take much for Paul to figure out what the plan is because the Lord told him what the plan was. We talked about the fact that he went to the high priest, Caiaphas, and at that time there were two high priests. There was Caiaphas and Ananias, I think was his name. Ananias was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. And Ananias was actually chosen by the Jewish people to be high priest. And as far as they were concerned, that was a lifetime job. But Rome came in and they appointed Caiaphas. I think because he worked with them to keep everything stable. You know, Pilate was there mainly to keep the peace so that there wouldn't be an uprising. And we talked about him being zealous about persecuting the Christians and why he went to Damascus. In Acts 8:1 it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Because of what Paul and the leadership of the Jews were doing, a persecution came upon the church. And I've often thought about that. Why did God allow a persecution to come on the church? Well, for years, I'm not sure how long, but the church was just in Jerusalem. That was the only place it was in, and it was just Jews. There were no Gentiles unless you were a converted Gentile to Judaism, and it was staying right there. So how do you get the gospel out if it's just going to stay right there? Well, persecution. When the persecution came, the people left Jerusalem. And they went out, and when they went out, they took the gospel with them. And they took the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, the first Gentile we read about being converted was Cornelius, who was a centurion in the Roman government. So I think possibly he allowed the persecution so that the gospel would get out. If not, it would have just stayed in Jerusalem, and it would only have been Jews. So what happened on the road to Damascus? A light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. Jesus spoke to him. I've written here, Jesus got his attention. You know, Paul would have continued persecuting the Christians, probably the rest of his life, or until he stamped Christianity out, but that wasn't God's purpose. So, definitely, the Lord got his attention on the road to Damascus. Jesus asked why Saul was persecuting him. And Saul's question was, well, who are you? And Jesus' answer is, I am Jesus, the one you have been persecuting. So, those who are persecuting Christians today are persecuting Jesus. A lot of times we don't think about things like that. Obviously, the people that are being persecuted, but Jesus says to Paul that you've been persecuting me. When you persecuted these people, when you put them in prison, when you had them stoned, you were doing that to me. And I think we talked about in a lesson not too long ago about sin. And you can sin against someone, but ultimately, all sin is against God. We should expect persecution in the future. I talked about the Supreme Court decision as far as the gays were concerned. In Matthew 5:11-12, it said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In Acts, we're studying on Sunday night, so we talked about the apostles being arrested and taken to prison. Of course, during the night an angel comes in, gets them out, tells them to go preach, which they do, and they're brought before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin tells them, we warned you not to go and preach this Christianity to the people, okay? And you continue doing it. Of course, Peter's answer is, who am I supposed to listen to? Am I supposed to listen to you or to listen to God? But they ended up beating the apostles. And you know what it says after that? And they went away rejoicing. Rejoicing. They just got beaten. Now, history tells me that they could give you 40 stripes. Usually they stopped at 39 because they didn't want to go over, make sure they didn't go over. But somebody beat me 39 times on my back, I'm not sure I'd go out rejoicing. But that's what they did. They went out rejoicing because they felt like they had done this for the Lord. Later on, in Philippians, we read about Paul and Barnabas being whipped and being in stocks in the prison. And what are they doing? Singing. Singing. I'm not sure I'd have been singing either. Down in a dark, dank prison in stocks, been beaten, and they're singing. But here it says that, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You know, those that are persecuted will be rewarded. In Revelation 6, 9 through 11, it says, When you opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. So I know that God knows that there are those that are going to die because of the gospel. The men traveling with Saul heard the sound but did not see anyone. When Saul gets up, he's blind. Jesus has gotten Saul's attention, and Saul, or Paul, will never be the same. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. That's Paul. After he's seen Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he goes to Damascus, and he is healed of his blindness, and he is baptized, that's a new Paul. He's not the same anymore. From that time on, he was just as zealous for Christianity as he had been when he was against Christianity. And my question would be to me is just exactly how zealous am I am for the Lord? What am I doing for the Lord? Am I taking the gospel out to those? I've said before, and maybe not here, but a lot of churches, you've got people that come to worship on Sunday mornings, and they sit in the pews and all, and it's like, oh yeah, we'd be glad to have you come in here, but they're not going out. And the people are out there. They're not in here. Okay? So we've got to get out of here and take the gospel to different places. Our workplaces, prisons, I don't know, your neighbors, wherever. But we need to be taking the gospel just like Paul did. Maybe you say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher. No, you might not be a preacher or a teacher, either one. You don't have to be. My wife teaches the two-year-olds. She teaches them Bible stories. That's the beginning of them learning the gospel. Okay? My wife is a godly wife. I told you that I thought the Lord always took care of me. Well, he did. He gave me a wife. I've had for 52, almost 53 years now. I thank the Lord quite often for Minerva. I don't think he could have chose anyone better than Minerva for me to marry. Let's see. So when we become a member of God's family, we are not the same as we once were. You know, he told Ananias to go to Paul. And what was Ananias' reaction? Wait a minute. I heard about this guy. He's persecuting the Christians. He's killing the Christians. And you want me to go over there and talk to him? No, I don't think so. But the Lord told him to do it. And so he went. And I find it interesting that God spoke to Ananias. Okay, I don't know how he did it. Could have been a vision, could have been a dream, whatever. God gave him instructions, and although he was leery about going, he went. So when God tells us to do something, we need to do it. We need to be, you know, Jesus said a lot of times, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In other words, you need to be listening, okay? Listening for God's directions. He'll give them to you. It might not be in a voice, a dream, or a vision. I don't know how it's going to be, but I'm sure he's going to open doors for you. What you've got to do is recognize the door. And when the door is opened, you go through the door. There are a lot of times I've had the Lord, I think, open doors for me and I didn't go through. And then I look back and I say, why did I not do that? I had an opportunity there and I just let that opportunity slide. So be looking for the doors that the Lord opens for you. So what did Ananias say was the reason for Paul being there? He said the reason was for Ananias to heal him of his blindness. I think that's interesting that Ananias had the ability to heal. I don't know where he got that ability, but he did. By laying hands on Saul, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. What did Saul do? He got up and was baptized. And from then was a changed man. Again, he went into Arabia for 3 years. I don't know what happened there. Then he went to Jerusalem. But after that, he took the gospel throughout the world. Now, I know that the apostles were taking the gospel out also. But most of the books I read in the New Testament were written by Paul about his journeys taking the gospel to the world. So what are the lessons we've learned? God had a purpose for Paul's life. We can see that in the scriptures. There's really no question about that. God has a purpose for your life. Don't know what it is, but he has a purpose. It might be small. Maybe it's teaching the two-year-olds. Hey, I would not want to teach the two-year-olds, but my wife's really good at it. The kids love her. They don't want to do, go from one class to the other, promote. They don't want to be promoted from Miss Nervy's class. They can't say Minerva, so it's Miss Nervy. They like Miss Nervy, okay? And she gets lessons across to them. You ask who Moses is, they'll know because Miss Nervy told them. But he has a purpose for your life. And sometimes God has to get our attention. He had to get Paul's attention. Sometimes things happen in your life just to get your attention, okay? Again, you got to be looking for things that God wants you to do. A Christian is a changed person, or should be a changed person. Okay, it says we're changed, and we are. I don't look at things like the world looks at things. I don't think you do either. You know, I know people, and they look at the world another way. I'll have all the pleasure I want. I'll do whatever I want to. You know, I can't look at the world that way because a Christian just doesn't do that. And God wants all to be saved, even those like Paul. Paul was really a bad person. He really was. He thought he was doing the right thing, okay, by persecuting the Christians. He really did. As far as he was concerned, that's exactly what God wanted him to do. But that is not what God wanted him to do. And the thing I read at the start of the lesson, you know, we've got to look at it that way, that God wants to save everybody. Now, I'm talking to the choir today because probably everyone in here that's of age is already a member of the church. Hopefully we'll have some baptisms at camp this week. I baptized my son at church camp, Montgomery Bell State Parks Lake, okay? I baptized one of my grandchildren in the swimming pool in the backyard, and I baptized one in the ocean. I thought that was neat. He wanted to be baptized in the ocean. And we were going to Destin, and I said, sure, we'd be glad to do that. So there might not be anybody here today that needs to be baptized, but maybe you've got a problem or something you want us to pray about, and we would be glad to do that. So at this time, we're going to stand and sing the invitation for anyone who would like to come forward.